This is Barbara Leslie, President of the Oakland Port Commission. Oakland International Airport, OAK, is proud to bring you this podcast of KQED's Forum. When you're choosing your next adventure, the smart and convenient choice is to fly the East Bay Way from OAK to destinations across the USA and Mexico. And when you return home, tune in to KQED, always bringing us remarkable stories about who we are and where we live. Enjoy today's episode of Forum.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Lunar New Year is only a week away. February 1st, and with this Omicron-inflected January, I think we can just all agree that everyone should just switch on over and begin the year on February 1st. In many cultures, the Lunar New Year spread is crucial, and some of you may already be running behind getting the meal ready. Joining us to talk elaborate feasts, the best takeout, and your favorite Lunar New Year dish or tradition, we've got KQED food editor Luke Tsai, who you may have noticed is now joining us every other week for our series on the food cultures of the Bay Area. Welcome back, Luke.
Thanks so much for having me, Alexis.
Yeah. So last year you wrote, for many Bay Area folks, the Lunar New Year is a time for big, rambunctious gatherings, whole extended families huddled around 10 top banquet tables after the Chinatown parade, everyone jockeying for prime Lazy Susan position. In case you hadn't guessed, none of that's happening this year. So that was last year. What about this year? Are those things coming back, or are we still in full pandemic shutdown of this particular kind of celebration?
I think everybody, you know, heading towards the end of this past year was looking forward to a sort of return to normalcy. You know, I think a lot of folks who haven't been able to travel back, you know, traditionally it's a time when a lot of people travel back to China or to Taiwan or to, you know, wherever their sort of homeland is to see family. And that's all been, you know, waylaid by this pandemic. And then Omicron hit, you know, and so I think a lot of those types of plans have been put on hold again. A lot of people are not doing indoor dining at this particular moment. Just like right now, we're just sort of looks like hitting the peak of this. And maybe in a couple weeks, things will be looking a lot better. But the new year is kind of right in the middle of it. So I think it's going to be pretty similar to last year. I think, you know, it's going to be a lot of takeout. And it's going to be a lot of small gatherings that people are just sort of having in their own homes.
Home cooking.
Yeah, and maybe not the big extended, you know, 30 people gathering, but maybe just, you know, one or two or three families getting together in their home.
We want to hear from you. What are you cooking this year? What's your favorite Lunar New Year dish or tradition? And even if you don't celebrate the Lunar New Year, what food do you eat to ring in a new year? Give us a call now, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or KQED Forum. Or you can email your questions and comments to forum@kqed.org. How about your family, Luke? How do you celebrate the Lunar New Year?
Well, you know, growing up, you know, there are all these sort of traditional foods. You know, I'm part of a Chinese, Taiwanese immigrant family. And so growing up, you know, my parents would teach me, you know, you would have certain dishes as part of that sort of New Year's Eve banquet, you know, which this year would take place on the 31st. That's sort of when family would all get together. You know, in a lot of cultures, that the New Year's dishes all have a symbolic meaning, you know. So in the Chinese language, there are all these dishes that are homophones of words that are lucky or that have good meanings, you know. So for instance, you always have a whole fish, you know, because there's a saying, "Nian Nian Yo Yu," which is like every year you have fish, it's also homonym for abundance and prosperity, that each year would bring more abundance and prosperity. So you always have a fish, and it always has to be a whole fish, you know, not like a cut up fish, but a whole, like a steamed fish. And supposedly, you know, I don't remember ever doing this in my family, but you're supposed to leave a little bit of it left over at the end so that you don't run out of prosperity in the new year. You still have a little bit left. Another dish I remember is niangao, which is like these sweet, sticky rice cakes. And again, the meaning is sort of like nian, which means sticky, but it also means year. And so it's like a prosperous year, a year in which your prosperity grows. And it's these sweet, sticky rice made with sticky rice flour. And they sort of have a lot of times red bean paste. And I remember growing up, you know, traditionally it's steamed or it's like pan fried to order. But I remember growing up, I was talking to my mom about this the other day, and she was like, yeah, I made this like fusion version, because in the US, we had these big American style ovens that, you know, basically no one has in Taiwan or China. And so she was like, wouldn't it be great if I could bake like a whole basically loaf of this, so I don't have to like do each individual order at a time. And so that was the version that I remember growing up with and eating for New Year's, was this like rectangular cake that was sticky and sweet and topped with sesame seeds, and almost reminds me a little bit, if you've ever had butter mochi. It's got that sort of like texture and sticky sweet thing going on. So these are the sort of dishes that I remember growing up with, but I don't do any of that with my family. And I think in the diaspora, you know, and especially second generation people, it's just really hard, you know, like I don't know a lot of those recipes. And also here in the US, it's not like if you're overseas where you get like 2 weeks vacation for Lunar Year. Like my whole life, Lunar New Year has just been another school day and another work day. You know, it's just like, it's nothing like when you celebrate it overseas. And so no one has time to spend like 3 days preparing this big feast. And even if you wanted to take that time, you might not know how to make it. And so what I plan to do this year, and what I've traditionally done with my family for the past several years, is we just have hot pot. You know, and pre-Omicron, we would maybe go to a hot pot restaurant. There was a spot that we really liked in Oakland, Chinatown, that we would go either for hot pot, or there's a place in Chinatown that does steam pot, which is like a similar kind of thing, except for the food is steamed instead of boiled in soup. And it's just a great way to have this like very abundant, luxurious communal meal. You know, everybody sticking their chopsticks. I know it's sort of a faux pas, but you know, you're sort of all sticking your chopsticks into the same pot, you know, just sharing this big bowl of soup that you're cooking the food right as you eat it. That's always what I've done. There's another family that we do it with, and we'd either do it at a restaurant or we do it at our home. But this year we'll see, you know, because hot pot, it's not really something that you want to do outdoors necessarily. So it might just be us, you know, in our own house having family hot pot.
We're talking about the foods and traditions of the Lunar New Year with KQED food editor Luke Tsai. What are you cooking this year? What's your favorite Lunar New Year dish or tradition that you grew up with or that you carry on or both? Give us a call now, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Twitter and Facebook, we're KQED Forum. So there is something, you know, as you become a food critic, you've had your own traditions. But have you come to love some other cultures, Lunar New Year's foods?
Yeah, you know, I think and I think that's the thing, you know, it's you know, often erroneously referred to as Chinese New Year, you know, because I think, you know, here in the US and really even in Asia, there's like a tendency to be very Chinese centric, you know, but then there are all these other countries that have their own traditions, whether you're talking about Korea, you know, and like they do like these delicious like rice cake soup, like a savory rice cake soup. That's like their traditional thing. Or whether you're talking about Vietnam, where again, there's like all kinds of like different like rice crepes and other kinds of things that are traditional for the New Year. So I definitely have developed a fondness for a lot of those traditions, and even countries that don't celebrate Lunar New Year, like the Gregorian New Year has just passed, and so like one of my favorite things that I always like to talk about is this restaurant, Rintaro, Izakaya Rintaro, in San Francisco, and they. Before they became this sort of fancy restaurant, the chef just would do these pop-ups and sort of like bento box deliveries in the East Bay. And sort of his signature thing was that every year for New Year's, he would do these osechi boxes. And similar to, for Chinese New Year, it's a tradition where, in traditional Japanese households, like, traditionally the mother would be the one who'd have to cook, every day of the year. She wouldn't get any break. And so the New Year's Day would be the one day a year when the sort of homemaker, the housewife, wasn't expected to cook, except for, what that just meant is that she had to cook it, several days in advance. And so what they would make are these very elaborate, they call them osechi boxes. And so traditionally, you would make all these foods, again, symbolizing wealth, symbolizing prosperity, symbolizing long life, each particular item having this symbolic meaning, and they would each be in their individual compartments. And so Rintaro does this like super luxurious version of that, where like his father is like a Japanese carpenter, so he like has Japanese cedar brought in from overseas to make these boxes by hand, so you have these handmade boxes that's like the smell of the fresh wood, is just wafting as soon as you open it. And then each item, is just sort of beautiful. It's like this beautiful jewel box that has these foods. And,
shout out Sylvan Brackett. This is Sylvan Mishima Brackett is the co-owner of he's the owner of
he's the guy. And so traditionally you would eat this, on New Year's Day, so you would make it in advance. And then on New Year's Day, sort of at your leisure, you wouldn't have to cook. Everything's sort of meant to be eaten at room temperature. And so you can kind of just eat that throughout the day. So that's another one of my favorites, but there's
so good.
Let's bring in
CY Chia, co-owner and co-chef of the Lion Dance Cafe in Oakland. Welcome, CY.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much. What is your what's your sort of tradition of the Lunar New Year?
Well, there's a big one in Singapore and Malaysia. That's relatively recent, actually. But it's called Yusheng. That translates to raw fish. It's a homophone for abundance. Mm-hmm. And it's also referred to as Lohe, which would mean prosperity toss. So it's this beautiful salad of thinly sliced raw vegetables, thinly sliced raw fish, or a vegan substitute, which there's a lot of vegetarians, especially people who eat vegetarian for Lunar New Year. There's also seeds, nuts, pomelo. It's this beautiful, very colorful salad plated on a large dish. And at some restaurants, you can get it plated very artfully. In my family, my aunties always liked to get the kids to plate it like using the different colored vegetables so it would resemble like the animal of the year.
Oh, wow. So it's a tiger this year. So it'd be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing their photos this year.
And, the Singaporean cuisine is kind of fascinating, right? Because it's this fusion of all these different kind of cultures in the same place. Do you see the Bay Area as having kind of a similar, so many different peoples are represented here in the Bay Area, all bringing their own Lunar New Year's traditions, and of course intermingling. Right? People are friends. People have dinner with each other. Do you see the way you see your, particular tradition being influenced by the people you know here in the Bay?
Yeah, I believe so. Like, for instance, at Lion Dance Cafe, like last year, we will have our own version of a lohe. Mm-hmm. Salad on the menu as a special, and it's we use all this beautiful local produce we get from the Old Oakland Farmers Market. We use yuba from our friends at Hodo. Yeah, it's just really nice to see this turn into something else just based on where you are and who's around you.
Yeah. Luke, how about you? I mean, do you see this kind of, I don't want to call it fusion because that has its particular meaning, but this kind of synthesis of different kind of Bay Area immigrant cultures as they kind of like work through what Lunar New Year should be here in this part of the Pacific?
Yeah, I mean, I think that here in the U.S. and in the Bay Area in specific, people just tend to be a little bit less rigid when it comes to thinking about some of these traditions. You know, I think it's like growing up, you know, I always learned you have to have, you know, this dish, it has to be served this way, you know, and I think here it's just, you know, like you don't have enough of a community where you feel like you can really celebrate in that super, super, super traditional way. So whether that means borrowing from other cultures and, you know, kind of fusing it together, whether it means, you know, like there's lots of restaurants, you know, doing sort of like high end, like pastries that sort of have like Lunar New Year flavors. You know, Viridian is another bar in Oakland that's doing that kind of thing this year for Lunar New Year, I think. You know, I wrote about recently this vegan bakery company called Annie's Tea Cakes. And, you know, for Lunar New Year, they put together this very beautiful like pastry box, and they were serving vegan, you know, because it's a vegan bakery. So they were doing vegan versions of mooncakes and also mooncake biscuits, which is sort of like this cookie that you make with the leftover dough from when you're making mooncakes. And mooncakes are traditionally served during the Mid-Autumn Festival. So it's not even a Lunar New Year item per se. But I think it's okay. You know, like I think here in the Bay Area, it's just like everyone just wants to sort of have a festive time and learn about each other's cultures. You know, I think there's a real spirit of just like people wanting to understand different cultures and wanting to experience the different foods from these other cultures. And so I think that's like a really great thing and a really one of the best parts of living in the Bay Area.
Absolutely. See, what, just to unite the segments here, how have you been handling the sort of pandemic stress and on your restaurant? And do you feel like you're on stable ground as we, you know, round the top of this Omicron surge?
I don't think I could say that I'm on stable ground. I don't think most restaurants here could say that. But we've been lucky to have a lot of support and a lot of amazing regulars. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you anticipate changing anything in the near future to make things different or bigger or smaller?
Yeah. Well, we still haven't been open for dine-in. So we're hoping to start with a parklet and then eventually one day dine-in. Yeah.
Yeah. Luke, I wanted to give you just, you know, our last 30 seconds here. You had a restaurant that you really miss out in the outer Richmond. You want to give it a shout out?
Which was?
maybe there's a bunch.
Which
restaurant? Jiangnan Cuisine.
Yeah. I was just trying to remember.
I forget you're a food critic. You know, like 700 restaurants.
Yeah, Jiangnan Cuisine, you know, I know the first segment was talking about beloved businesses that were closing, and this one may not have been as well known to folks outside of the Chinese American community, but Jiangnan Cuisine was one of my very favorite regional Chinese restaurants in the Bay Area, you know, just specializing in the food of Jiangnan, which is sort of adjacent to Shanghai. A lot of braised dishes, a lot of like sort of sweet, like braised pork belly, really, really delicious.
And
I'll definitely miss it. Yeah.
I'm missing it just right now. We've been talking about foods of the Lunar New Year with KQED food editor Luke Tsai and CY Chia, co-chef at Lion Dance Cafe in Oakland. Stay tuned for another hour of Forum Ahead.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, the Generosity Foundation, and the Heising Simons Foundation.
This is Barbara Leslie, President of the Oakland Port Commission. Oakland International Airport, OAK, is proud to bring you this podcast of KQED's Forum. When you're choosing your next adventure, the smart and convenient choice is to fly the East Bay Way from OAK to destinations across the USA and Mexico. And when you return home, tune in to KQED, always bringing us remarkable stories about who we are and where we live. Enjoy today's episode of Forum.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.